successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Is our culture undermining both single mothers and single fathers by promoting less than accurate models of both? Single mothers are often stereotyped as either victims or victors over their circumstances. Single fathers are often stereotyped as absent, abusive, aloof, or confused. What are the long-term repercussions of a culture where positive male role models are missing from the developmental years of so many children? My guest says, and I quote, "Most problematic is these stereotypes have become models for single parents to live down to." You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I am Chris Efesiou. My guest today is Andrea Morissette-Grazzini. She is CEO of WeThePea.org, an online participatory democracy startup company. In 2009, she founded the cross-sector civic discourse initiative Dynamic Shift. Her work has influenced numerous global and national conversations on co-productive change. Among them are American Commonwealth Partnership, American Democracy Project, and the White House Office for Public Engagement. She has been featured on her civic engagement work in numerous media, including the New York Times, Fox News, PBS, and the Wall Street Journal, and four books including The Citizen Solution, How You Can Make a Difference by Harry Boyd. She is co-author of phenomenological research on the topic of collaborative relationships, and it is indeed my pleasure to have Andrea with us today. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
It's nice to have you here, Andrea, and just for the benefit of our listeners, I will ask you to lay the foundation of your experience and your work to date so that they have a frame of reference.
Well, really what I'm interested in is sort of a personal and professional and a civic look at my world and our world, and to do that, I understand myself as a parent, a single parent in our society, and how I'm raising my children with the help of others, and particularly in this case, I'm interested in the thoughts of and the presences of citizen fathers. This all relates to my work in civic engagement, which, and thank you for introducing that in your introduction, around the themes of how do we work together through issues of difference and in public ways and sustaining ways for the betterment of all of us, and in this particular case, specifically for our children.
Wonderful. So stereotypes. I've never seen a good one. I know I've experienced the ill effects of stereotypes, the stereotype of a single dad while I was raising my daughter as a single father and the only custodial parent. I was not absent, I was not abusive, I was not aloof, and I certainly was not confused. Yet the culture at large stereotyped me as such. Now, single moms suffered different but similar cultural decry. Why is this?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think that there is a nugget, perhaps, of some evidence that sometimes, if not often, single mothers and single fathers have lived down to some of these worst-case scenarios. The challenge is, I think, we are measuring or understanding what single parents are through those stereotypes and not through the more nuanced realities that are beyond and much broader and more individualized than stereotypes can possibly address. So, for example, as you said, you were a single father and you almost were the complete opposite of the stereotype. There may be other single fathers that some parts of it fit and a lot of it doesn't. I'm a single mother. I'd like to hope that I was and not. living down to the possible stereotypes that I might. But there, that said, we both single parents, men and women, have unique struggles. And this puts single parents in an isolated position and leaves them at a loss for how to articulate those without sounding like victims or, forgive me, jerks, if that's what the stereotype is. Complain or express concerns. For example, a citizen or a single father frustrated with his inability to spend more time with his children. It's a legitimate complaint. But if the single mother seems to have decent reasons for having more time with the children, the complaints may start sound like whining. If the father has struggled with abuse issues, but is really trying to get back on track, sounds somewhat disingenuous around his complaints, and yet he may very well have made some tremendous strides in his behaviors, or those behaviors of other single fathers. And the same would go for single women, or single mothers, rather. Single mothers often are very strong, are very capable, are very present, but they're often also very tired, and sometimes they need a lot more support. And when they put that out into wherever they put it, into the universe or into the community, or if they need help financially from the government or from others, or daycare, whatever the case may be, it can start to sound like whining and vulnerability and victimhood, which really is reductive. Often the parents have their own histories and their own stories that may be well beyond those. If they were allowed to live up to a standard rather than down to one, I think we'd see a different role in the good stereotypes.
What would be a suggestion, other than the obvious, of course, to do the right thing? As a matter of fact, last Thursday, I had Dr. Bill Daugherty on the show, a colleague of yours, and a comment that he made, which is so entirely true because I have heard it time and time again, is that some fathers who have been in that, I'm not only saying this for fathers, some parent that has been disengaged from their child's life, now they're trying to gain access back in, but the child is resisting for some understandable reasons, others perhaps not so, and they become discouraged, they become disillusioned, and they have, quote-unquote, tried to rekindle that kind of relationship, but the relationship is difficult to get restarted. And there was a particular father that Bill had spoken about that his answer was, well, you know, I've tried. They know where they can find me. And this is almost like taking the problem, taking the monkey from your back and putting onto your kid's back, which obviously has fewer resources, primarily in life experience, and expecting them to bridge the gap as opposed to having us adults taking the first step to do that. That obviously is more frequently heard from the father's side, but there are a good number of mothers that I'm aware of that are as disengaged as any person I have ever seen.
Well, and I think it just looks a little different in single mothers. I think what you see is you maybe see this situation with single fathers who have been out of touch, particularly in the early years of their child's life, so that this child really doesn't have a relationship and doesn't even really have the experience to reach out. They don't know they're supposed to. And that's a very abstract concept for a child who's never learned how to deal with a parent that's been out of touch. So that's tricky. But this also happens with single mothers. I think there are a couple of times in inflection points that it's likely to be a real challenge for single mothers to stay engaged. First of all, is if they are working outside the home, it can be very hard, and it can be very, it can really draw and sap energies for a single mother to be toggling single parenting and the work that she needs to do to keep the child fed. fed, so they can become, though they may be living with the child even, they can become withdrawn and unavailable emotionally, if not physically. So there's that issue. The other issue for both parents is when there's a desire to have another relationship, and how do you navigate that with children in the picture. There's a lot of ways to do that, but those are points when sometimes it can become more difficult. But the one that's most prominent, I think, for single mothers, is when the children become adolescents and they start bucking the system and giving mom some grief. And mom, as one single parent, has really got the compounded task of making the decisions and the discipline and producing the income to support the family with a child who's prickly or worse. And then it can become so difficult for the mother that it's so discouraging and so consuming that she checks out emotionally, or she sort of lets go of the child and lets the child do whatever the child wants. Maybe move back with father, which is sometimes a good solution. And yet sometimes that can just create more instability in the child's understanding of his or her world. So I think it is a challenge. And again, these are exactly the reasons that we have these stereotypes of single parents, because this is sort of what bubbles to the surface in our experience of single parents is fathers who check out and mothers who sort of check out but maybe are still present but just can't put it all together for the enormous and overwhelming task that single parenting can be. But the converse, and I think, you know, that maybe hopefully answers your question, but to move us into the possibilities, as I see them anyway, is, again, if we see a bigger picture of both types of parents, both single mothers and single fathers, when we as a culture can understand that their lives are more nuanced than those breaking points, and those breaking points are dramatic, and they're hard for us as a culture to know what to do with. We almost don't want to, because it's so heart-wrenching and it's so difficult and there can be conflict and all of this. And yet if we can uplift and elevate positive stereotypes, not positive role models, because there's all kinds of books that'll tell all of us single parents how to single parent. And you and I have read them all. We have those facts and we try and then we learn that in life, the books have answers and yet they don't. Each child is different and each situation is different. What can be really valuable is to see a couple of things, to see that there are other single parents that not only are struggling, this we're well aware of, there's support groups for single parents that, you know, if the parent has time, they'll try to plug into perhaps, but even to see that there is different ways of parenting. And this is where I think this idea of citizen parenting comes in. So we begin to see ourselves as not only the parent, if we're single parent or a parent in a relationship, as the parent of our own children, but as the parent of other children as well, so that we begin to put these different models out there that show what looks an awful lot sometimes like parenting behavior may or may not be with the actual child.
Let's pick that up on the other side of the break. My guest is Andrea Morissette-Grazzini, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris Effacio. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Effacio understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. For updates and information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisfsu.com or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Throughout the hour, I look forward to hearing your questions. You can call those in to 1-866-472-5788 or email your questions to chris@straightupwithchris.com. I'm Chris Efesiou with my guest, Andrea Morissette-Grazzini. Please visit her website, dynamicshift.org, and follow her on Twitter at Andrea Grazzini. And that is, the last name is spelled G-R-A-Z-Z-I-N-I. Before we went on break, we were talking about all things stereotyping single moms and single dads. And I will like to move on to discussing the presence of a father's or a male figure in a child's life, regardless of the age of that child. And there are many examples that seem to support that the presence of a father in a child's life is just as important in teenage years and even adulthood as it is in the earlier years. What's your take on that, Andrea?
Yeah, I think that it does sort of happen. I think what happens is children can experience particularly fathers, as being present because after a divorce, because some system or organization is mediating that presence. It often, the most typical one is that the courts have determined, or through the process of a divorce or a split, how much time perhaps the father and the mother respectively have with the child. The courts develop and support the agreements, the financial agreements of who's going to pay for what, generally, and often, not always, but often it's the case that the father is sending child support if mother is a custodial parent, and obviously vice versa. The challenge, though, again, is it becomes a relationship that's mediated by a system, by institutionalized answers, so to speak. And then the child doesn't really take long. I think kids, first of all, intuitively, and then as time goes on, more cognitively understand that this parent, often the father's parent presence, is organized around some rules that have been developed, prior. So there's the casual, incidental relationship that has dad just there just because he wants to be in, because he's a good dad and so on, can start to lose its the richness if it's perceived by the child. And there is fathers too who do very much see their relationship with their child around if I'm a single dad and I'm paying child support, I'm doing my job. And this is the socialization of the single father, if not the fathers, in our Western culture at least. My job is to support the family. So if I divorce and I'm paying for my child's upbringing, I'm doing my job. I mean, this is what society tells me, and that's what I so I'm doing my best, and that's enough. The challenge is that the child begins to see themselves almost as part of a transaction.
I'm not sure I can blame the child for that, because I have such disdain for that comment that I'm doing my job as a parent if I am putting food on the table and a roof over your head and clothes on your back. That isn't doing the child any favor. Let's just remember, the child didn't ask to be born. It was born out of lack of total desire on his or her part. It was the decision of two adults, presumably, bringing the child into this world. And so to have a father or a mother say that I pay child support, therefore I'm doing what I am supposed to do for my child, I think that's deplorable. I think that is, there are no words to describe it in my mind.
And yet it is, it's not terribly uncommon, and I appreciate you are a single father, so this, of course, feels really good to hear it as a single mother, to hear this from you. But I do think that we have to recognize that this is how if our institutions have decided that they, you know, where the buck stops with the courts is around child support and perhaps parenting time, and where they will intervene is when child support isn't paid. It's become the way that our society says where parents, single fathers, sort of their absolute must has got to be around that. And there's not a lot of there's certainly a lot of literature, and there's a lot of efforts around trying to reengage fathers who buy into that transactional understanding of their single parenting only. But again, these are often institutionalized answers. So you've got a father who, okay, is paying his child support, and maybe he's even had to go back to court to be sure that he pays it again. And then perhaps there's systems that are in place that are trying to support that father to reengage with the child. And then the child's prickly because the child's been feeling very much like a product to be paid for, and that's about it. And maybe it shows up at Christmas or in Easter or Hanukkah or whatever. But other than that, you know, that's, the relationship is limited to that. So then when the father tries to reengage, the child again is seeing, in often the case, that the therapist or a church group or some outside institution is the mediating factor. It's saying, you know, we're trying to get your dad back in, and we're helping bring your dad back in and you back in relationship. Now, the father could have entirely sincere, ideals in this situation. They could have come to an epiphany that, oh dear, okay, I get it. It's not only about paying to raise my child. It's about me being more engaged. Now I want to be more engaged, but there again, this is this point where the child's going, well, wait a second. So you mean it takes the school, or it takes the doctor, or it takes a therapist to get you back involved in my life? What, you know?
It's almost like seen as an intervention. And as
exactly
you and I discussed offline earlier, it almost appears as though certain male figures do things because they're paid to do so, such as you mentioned, the clergy or the teacher or a coach or a therapist. They are there as a male figure because they have a job to do, but when the dirty work is to be done, which is the everyday parenting, they're absent. And right. that seems to confuse things, doesn't it?
It does. So I mean, it's not a bad ideal. Again, I mean, I think there is a recognition that professionals in children's worlds, teachers and coaches and so on, who are gender related, and particularly in this case, male professionals, male teachers and male coaches and so on. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have professionals that engage with children, more of them being men. I think I wish there were more. I think there ought to be. And that's all good. And there's no question that boys also benefit from those relationships. But it's not quite the same as that parental type relationship where the parent is there not because it's his job. It's not because he's a teacher that he acts like a parent when he's teaching, or a coach, like he acts a bit like a parent and maybe even takes a kid or two under his wing a little bit. It's because they're just a guy who sees this child as some value, as having value because it's just a kid that has that is a cool kid. It's a very different model if it's more organic or more natural or more non-mediated by a job.
Agreed. We have an email from one of our listeners. This is from Shannon in Baltimore, Maryland. It says, Chris, what role do you feel the stereotype of a single dad plays in a part of a division of time with the children? Usually it's defaulted to the mother. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a really tricky question. I think it's a good question. I think it's a stereotype. I think that there's a couple stereotypes. I think that the prevailing stereotype, and perhaps she says the default stereotype, is that mothers are perhaps more reliable. That this again being the stereotype that mothers are going to be more present. That mothers are less likely to check out than fathers, and therefore, what we've decided as a culture, and particularly institutionalized parts of it, is that we ought to default. If we have to default, we should probably default to the mother. Now that it's sort of this is the one in particular that is a real pressure point in our culture because, first of all, there are mothers that aren't any of those things, or maybe just have tremendous struggles with all three of those points. They're not present. They are not reliable. They are not interested in being a mother, perhaps. There is that incidence, and it's not that terribly uncommon. It's in relation to men that are in that same type of frame of mind. So that's real dangerous to always assume this. And it also, of course, if I'm a single dad, and this is my culture that I grew up in, and I see that single dads are stereotyped as not needing to be with the children as much. I'm imprinting this on my understanding of what a single dad is, and it's going to be very hard for a single dad if he's bought into that stereotype and sees it in his life to break out of it and say, well, wait a second, I really want to be a present dad, but this. I'm not supposed to be, and so I guess I give up. I don't really even know how to reinsert myself into my family, my ex-family, and my child's life, certainly, because I don't even really have a blueprint for how that works for many realms. So I think that's a very complicated issue. That said, of course, there is fathers that have severe problems with abuse that needs to be addressed before they can be full custody or even part custody parents. So it's tricky stuff, and that's why I do think that while institutions serve an important role, we have to look at families and the child's family being both his or her parents as individual and as individualized and as worthy of more thought than just the stereotyped categories we put them in.
Agreed. I will also attempt to answer this question on the other side of the break. My guest is Andrea Morissette-Grazzini, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities. Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and is the co-founder of BR Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to The Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou, and my guest is Andrea Morissette-Grazzini. Please visit her website, dynamicshift.org, and follow her on Twitter at Andrea Grazzini. Before we went on break, Andrea was giving her opinion on a question that we received from Shannon from Baltimore, Maryland, which said, Chris, what role do you feel the stereotype of a single dad plays in the division of time with the children? Usually it's defaulted to the mother. What are your thoughts? Andrea gave us her thoughtful answer. My answer to this, or my thoughts to this, are the following. As a single dad, I both had to fight to get custody of my daughter, and then again, I didn't. And that means that while I was ready to do whatever was required legally for me to have that relationship, my daughter herself circumvented the whole process very much to my delight by saying that I want to live with Dad. And she was 10 at that point, maybe a little younger. She's now 25. And a vocal child that can make up their mind of where they want to be and why they want to be there. Courts, I was told, see it as the 800-pound gorilla. Whatever it is that they want, they get. And that to me was a wonderful thing. Now, the stereotyping, to this day, I still have people who know me and know me well enough that I'm a puzzle to them, that I have actually parented my daughter through her preteen years, teen years, college, and now adulthood, and she is now a married young woman and is doing phenomenally well on her own. To them, I'm an anomaly, because the stereotype is you get divorced, their children, the children go with the mom. Why? I don't know, because somebody said so. Well, I've never seen a stereotype I didn't try to break, and I've never seen a mold I didn't try to crush. So I did that in this particular case, and nothing I've ever done in my life has given me more satisfaction and delight than being the parent to my daughter. So that's my take on that. But in the meantime, we had another question come in, and this came from Donna from West Palm Beach. And it is addressed to Andrea, and it says, ideally, both parents should work together for the best interests of their child. Do you think one solution could be to have a mandatory good parenting course in high school?
I think that any opportunities that we have as a culture, including in school, to encourage parenting skills in all of us, including definitely children in the education system, but even beyond that. And there are programs like that. In fact, some in the school district I'm in, my children are in Minnesota, that is a mandatory course. It's not single parenting, but it is a parenting course. And the effect of it is sort of single parenting because each student carries around a baby all by themselves, so they don't have a spouse that's helping them as part of the course. So I think that's really useful. I don't think it's nearly enough, though, and I think this is critical. I think that we can build programs and we can educate till we're blue in the face, and I don't think we ought to stop educating and putting these opportunities to learn the realities of parenting out there. I think we ought to continue that. But if we don't change beyond institutionalized answers, we're going to continue seeing this as a problem that needs to be fixed, rather than as, imagine if we could see this as a way of living that is solved by the way we live in community. So, for example, what if we saw more dads like you, Chris, and there's lots of them out there that are raising their children who have the opportunity to explain how that looks for a single dad, to just sort of stand up and say, hey, I'm Mr. Mom, and this is how it works for me, and these are the crazy moments, and these are the moments that people looked at me odd and still wondered, and so on. But just voicing that reality is really, really important. So that's one way that we can start building a culture that recognizes the more complex and nuanced understandings of real single parents, and in that case, specifically single dads, saying, yeah, there's a lot of us out there. You just don't see us because we don't talk much, and nobody asks us to. Everybody thinks that we're a bunch of slugs that are the courts are chasing to pay our child support, and we're showing up, you know, whenever we feel like it's not true. In a lot of cases, there's exceptions again, and there's a lot of cases it is true. But there's probably, I would guess, and there's, I don't know the research because nobody's done the research, but there's probably a lot more single fathers that are more present than we think they are. We as a society address the problem areas. We don't address the working areas. And single dads like you, Chris, who have done it, are working well, and there's no need for us as a society to look much beyond that except for to stand up and go, well, good for you, and good for your daughter, and amazing story, but that's about it. And then we want to work on the problems that are still out there.
Yeah.
So, and then another iteration of that, or another model of that, is this idea of a father taking this up as his, a man rather, taking this up as his role as a man in the community to start acting more like a father in public spaces. And I'm not saying that they should adopt, you know, the children of single mothers or move in with them or any of that if they want to. I guess that's all good, but more so just to see themselves as role models in this community, rather than sort of not seeing the single children in communities, which is a real issue. This is a significant issue for families that are strapped for time and for attention. They don't even know how to reach out and say, we could use just some basic time with a dad in our little family. Again, we're always dealing with those exception issues.
And you're talking about stepping in, fathers stepping in, or not necessarily biological fathers, but father figures stepping in into the community and taking on that responsibility. And I'm assuming you are speaking of citizen fathers.
Yeah, I'm talking about citizen fathers, and it's something like stepping in, and maybe that's part of it, but it's more what it is. It begins happening, and I've seen it happen, when a man, whether he's a biological father or not, whether he has children, whether he's engaged with his own children or not, or his children are raised, or whatever, it's simply a man who anoints himself through his own process of understanding himself and how he lives in community something beyond a breadwinner, or something beyond a man who has this job and lives in this place and these are his hobbies, but as a man who has the unique ability to act in ways that are somewhat fatherly. So it doesn't mean that this man has to necessarily step into a child's life, but simply says, when I'm in public, if I see a child that could use a man speaking with respect to that child, I do that. Or when I see a single mom that needs help pushing her cart, I do that. Or when I go to the baseball diamond and hit balls, and I notice that there's some kids doing the same, I ask if they want me to shoot, to hit some balls out to them to catch. So it's almost as much an awareness and an intentional awareness of a man's capacities to act like a father, and then just to be aware of those opportunities when he can do that.
While it may be fairly obvious to see the benefits that the presence of a citizen father will have to a child, are there benefits that being a citizen father affords the citizen father?
I'm so glad you asked that, because there was an essay that I wrote, and I think it's how you all found out about this work that Bill Doherty does, and then just my passion for and applause for this thinking and these ideas, was I was observing, I'd go to my YMCA, and I was observing a man there who does not have children, and became friendly with him, and we'd talk, and he was demonstrating what looked a lot like fatherly behavior to me. He happened to work there, but his job requirement was not that he act like a father, and there were other people doing the exact same job that weren't. They were simply doing their job, and they were doing a good job. But Brad decided to take it to a different level. It occurred to him that some of these children, if not a good portion of them, didn't have father figures, or maybe didn't have great father figures if they did have a father in their life, or maybe they had great father figures and just could use more fathering, as all of us could, right? I mean, is there such a thing as too many mothers and fathers? I suppose children would say yes, but he just decided that there were ways that he could act, with consistency, to support these children behaving, not being bullies to one another, to listen to them, to engage them, to say hello to them, to take them further, in relationship than just, you know, making sure that they got in and out with the right credentials, their license or whatever to get into the building. So he took it further.
Terrific. Let's continue that right after the break. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel with my guest, Andrea Morissette-Grazzini. I'm Chris Effacy. We'll be back in a moment.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Effacy understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now.
Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou with my guest, Andrea Morissette-Grazzini. Please visit her website at dynamicshift.org and follow her on Twitter at Andrea Grazzini. Before we went on break, we were talking about the citizen fathers, those being individuals who serve as mentors, partners, father figures to children who otherwise do not have a father figure present in their life. And we were discussing the benefits that are afforded from either for both sides to the opposite side, and clearly one can readily see the benefit that a child will earn from a father figure being present in their life, but it is at least as important and as beneficial to the adult serving as a father figure to a child. And Andrea, I'll ask you to continue your comments on that.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'll weave them into this story about Brad, this man at the YMCA that I know. We've talked about this, and I think what he has said is there's numerous benefits. First of all, one of the basic ones, and probably the one that he came in with, was he realized that if he acted more fatherly to boys, that they would behave better in the space that they shared there. So that was a very sort of practical and utilitarian reason to start acting a little bit more assertive as a quote-unquote father figure. And he did experience that and did witness that. So in a sense, it made the place easier to manage and all the crowds of these kids easier to manage. So that was a nice basic win for him as well as others. He also thought that he's also talked about it helping him understand both the children and just people in general a great deal more. He came into this position with the same stereotypes that we all do, that children that are acting out must have terrible situations. And he found, as he got to know these boys, that, yeah, some did, and yeah, some didn't. It was just some of them are more temperamentally wound up and some aren't. And he also found that some that came from very difficult situations were very quiet and they were the quote-unquote good kids. So he understood a much more realistic and authentic understanding of what just people are, and in this case, teens and their families, were all about. He learned that they were the things that he thought were really troubling often were far more complicated than he had originally thought, and for that he could have empathy with the kids. The other piece of it is, I think, is he will say he grew through this. He grew to see himself as something other than just a person going to a job. He said he experienced knowing that he was important, that he could see people changing, specifically children, but also their mothers. He could see that the mothers seemed more relaxed. They maybe didn't have to be as vigilant about whether their child was misbehaving or not. So there was a very visible outcome that he could see that his acting fatherly was having on these children. They were rising up to a better self, and their mothers were seeming to be less stressed. And then the final one, and I think that this is it's certainly near and dear to my heart, and I think it's really important to our society, is not only do we need to father our children, But we also need to heal the bonds, or the broken bonds between men and women in general in our society. There is an awful lot of tension out there, and it's in many ways not getting much better. It's, surprisingly enough, it seems in some cases to be getting worse. So when Brad or other men or you, Chris, act as these strong and manly men who are present to the children of single mothers, single mothers begin to have more hope than men.
And perhaps more trust.
And more trust. Single fathers begin to see their potential in more powerful ways, and not as just those single fathers who don't care about their children. They start living up to something beyond. And then, of course, meanwhile, our children are watching, and they're starting to see, one hopes, that their mother is talking to this Brad or this Chris or whomever in ways that they haven't seen their mother be comfortable with talking to men before. She's trusting them with Brad or whomever where she never trusted before. So all of this is deeply healing in a sense. And if we can do it in the broad enough way, I think that we could change the way our culture sees single parenting on all sides, and again, as well, how we see the potentials of the children of single parents rising up to do better and to succeed more in our society.
So let's assume that one of our listeners knows of a situation that fits this profile and thinks that the single mom they know can certainly, her child can certainly benefit from the presence of a citizen father. When and where can a person make contact with an individual to serve as a citizen father, as a father figure to a single mom?
Well, I'm a big fan of wherever you're at, and this is exactly what this Brad did. Where Brad is at his work, and so at his work, beyond doing his work, he decided to start asserting himself as a citizen father. So that's a very easy and obvious way. He was there all the time. He was seeing the children of single parents. In fact, he citizen fathers children of intact families, and that is an equally valuable service, maybe not quite as poignant, but it's still of tremendous value. So wherever you're at is one way of doing it. Another way, of course, is if you have a family in your environment, your neighbor or your maybe a family member who is a single mother, to simply be present to that child, and not in ways that make it look like you're coming in to save the mother or save the child, but just recognize that child in ways that you can connect and invite the child to connect with you. If you like to hunt, and the mother's okay with you bringing the child along hunting, invite the child along. You know, maybe you could use a pal to go out and go water skiing or to go for a walk or a run or whatever it is that you do. But just rather than make it a real formal arrangement, to just find those opportunities and the most of all, act on them. And not necessarily even going in saying, I'm going to be the perfect father for this child, because first of all, there never is a perfect father. And second of all, that is setting yourself up to meet some expectation that you may not meet to your hopes, and then you become frustrated and sort of give up on the whole exercise. The other important thing about citizen fathers, as with all parents, is this idea that there is some level of sustained relationship. In other words, you know, father where you can, and sometimes you can't chunk out 2 years of your life or whatever it might be, weekly. On the other hand, try to be careful that you're not so engaged with the child in some short term and then take yourself out of that child. You won't be able to finish and see that child grow up much further. It doesn't mean you have to be in this child's life forever. It doesn't mean that you commit to any specific period of time, but you just don't want to be creating more really intense relationship and then suddenly popping out of that child's life.
Wonderful. And if any of our listeners are interested in seeing the story that Andrea has been talking about, it is titled Coaches, Time to Train Citizen Fathers. It can be found on her webpage, dynamicshift.org, or if you prefer, send me an email at chris, it's straightupwithchris.com, and I will send you the link to that particular story. Andrea, we are out of time, and that's always a good sign that time was well spent. I thank you very much for your time and your counsel, and I hope that we have an opportunity to have this discussion again sometime in the future.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's a great discussion.
My pleasure. Tune in next week when we take on the subject of kids and money, how not to be an ATM to your children, with my guest Brian Fricke, a financial planner and a man who opened his first business, a neighborhood candy store, at the ripe age of 10. So please join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 p.m. West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. Let's talk more next week. I'm Chris FSCU. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris FSCU, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.